You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Profoundly Pointless. My name is Nick VinZant. Coming up in this episode, freestyle cliff jumping and Halloween songs.
After I jumped like the first couple times, I was like, holy shit. This is crazy. Like, this is insane. I kind of want to go higher. I'm always scared. Everybody's always scared. It's always like, well, that's a long way down. And you're excited, but you're scared. And if you're not scared, there's something wrong. Oh, you can't just do a cannonball and not tell anybody. Like, you're screaming cannonball amidst your jump, like 100%.
I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you get a chance, like, download, subscribe, share. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. So I think that pretty much everybody at some point in their life has jumped off something fairly high into water. Our first guest, though, takes that to an entirely different level. He's been around the world, jumping off cliffs sometimes more than 100 feet high and doing some just amazing tricks in the process. This is freestyle cliff jumper, Jay Briggs. How did you get into it? And what I mean by that is, like, when did you really get hooked? Not like the first time you went, but like, man, this is my thing.
I know you said not the first time, but kind of the first time was actually when I was like, whoa, this is super sick. Cause like I've always been an athlete like my whole life. Like after high school and sports ended, like I just went to a community college. So I got really into like competitive gaming, like, and would go to tournaments and stuff like that. And just like to compete, like that competitive edge to make me feel like an athlete still. But when I was like 22, I bought a GoPro and I was like, I got to do something cool with this. Like, I'll figure it out. And I saw some random girl on my Instagram that I went to high school with. She posted that she was like near these cliffs. I was like, oh, that's really cool. Next weekend, I drove 2.5 hours up there with a couple friends. And we were on like the edge of a 20-foot cliff. It's like, whoa, this is huge. But in hindsight right now, that's nothing. Like, I would do it with my eyes closed, like whatever. But after I jumped like the first couple times, I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. Like, this is insane. I kind of want to go higher. And so literally I was hooked like then. And from then on, when I was 22, so that was like 7 years ago, I go a little bit higher. And like, as soon as I get home, like, cool, what's a little bit higher? Where can I go? What's cooler? What's better? What's whatever? And I immediately started doing that. And then I haven't looked back.
Why did you get hooked though? What was it about it?
It was something super new. Cause like, once you started to get kind of like higher, and it's like, it's almost like even when it's 20 feet, it's like, essentially it's like, it's almost like risking your life. It's like super adrenaline. Holy shit. And you think about it and you're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have done it like that. 20 feet, not so much. But when you get up to higher stuff, like 60, 70, 80, 100, 100 plus feet, you know, you can really hurt yourself. So it was like, I got really hooked because it was so exhilarating. It's like almost like you're not supposed to do it. You know, you can, why not? But it was just such a like an adrenaline rush. And you're just like, I need to do that again. And then like, but once you do 20 feet, like 20 times, okay, there's no more adrenaline here. So you kind of have to go for higher. You got to go for bigger. You got to do different tricks. And so it just became an obsession to chase that feeling of just something that not too many people get to do.
So like, when does it become dangerous? At what height are you like, okay, now we got to stop messing around?
For me specifically, it's like 60 feet where I'm like, I should probably be a little bit more careful. But like, it depends on your skill level. Like an average viewer of yours specifically, like who doesn't do this very often, like 15 feet is kind of a big deal because like you, I mean, it's not a huge deal, but like you can still hurt yourself. Like a lot of people, when they do it, they like land with their arms all out and they slap their arms and their bruised arms, you know, or like they, or like when they jump and they plug their nose and they start leaning back and they land on their back from 15 feet, that's going to hurt. So like, but for me, who's somebody who's like super controlled, and a lot of my friends are too, you know, like 50 feet, 60 feet, you're like, yeah, if I flop, it's going to suck. But like, now I should probably take it a little bit more serious and make sure I don't mess anything up.
Like when I think of flopping, I'm thinking like a belly flop. And I would imagine that would kill you.
No. So when I was in Slovenia about a month ago, so there's this hotel on the side of a river that let us put a trampoline on their balcony and jump off the trampoline off their balcony to the river. And that was like 40 feet below, right? I flopped pretty bad straight to my back doing a trick I've never tried before and was spitting up blood for about a day. So you're not going to die. But it sucks. Like I watched a girl break her back from 40 feet and because she landed in like seating position and it just compressed her spine, right? If you don't do it right, if your body's not, if you haven't trained for it or whatever, it's going to suck. I've seen people flop from over 100 feet and then come out totally unscathed. I've seen people flop from 40 feet and break their back. It all depends on everything, right? It depends how you land. It depends on what kind of water you're in. Like if you're in quarry water out in Vermont where it's flat, it's going to hurt a lot more if you land into like the froth of a waterfall as like the waterfall's landing.
I guess that, you know, the big, the kind of the question that I would have is you're going to push it. You're going to push it. How do you know, how do you keep yourself from pushing it too far?
It's all internal. Like there's a lot of cliff diving and cliff jumping is visualization. Like when you start to get up to these high cliffs and high jumps and stuff like that, or even if it's not even like as high, but it's like something that's like either kind of sketchy or unique or whatever it may be. Like specifically, there's a place in NorCal, I'm not going to disclose the name, but there used to be a crane that would go over the water. It's like an old gold mining claim that had a crane and people would jump off it. It's about 80 feet. And at that time I've jumped over 80 feet multiple times, but I've been back to that place like four times. And every time I got up there, like I just wasn't feeling correct. I couldn't visualize what I was going to do safely. Like every time, like I went through my head, like what trick I was going to do, like something would go wrong in my head. So I'm like, cool, it's time to back down. So a lot of the times it's just visualization. It's how you feel that day. There's been times where I've backed down from jumps that are like 40 feet. So I'm just like, dude, I'm just not feeling it right now. Like something feels off. I'm going to step back. Cause a lot of the times if you push back that and you're like, yeah, I don't really feel that good, but I'm just going to do it anyway. Like that's what you get. So it's a lot of just mental in your head, how you feel on that day is kind of where you kind of start and stop. Well, at least for me specifically.
So it's not one of those things where like, oh yeah, I'm a little scared, but I got to push through this. It's like, ooh, if I don't feel it, I'm backing out.
Cause I'm always scared. Everybody's always scared. I mean, there's times where I'm at like a 40-foot cliff. I'm not really that scared, but like, even when you're at like 100 feet, it's always scary, right? It's always like, well, that's a long way down and you're excited, but you're scared. And if you're not scared, there's something wrong because you need to be afraid of what you're doing when it comes to cliff jumping like this. Like, and especially when we're up 100+ feet, which we do all the time, you need to be scared. It's good to keep yourself in check, knowing that like, even though you're scared, like, you know, your body's going to take care of it. Type of thing. Being scared is normal. But if you're like, I'm not visualizing right, I'm not feeling what's going on right now, I'm going to just step back.
So is there a special way that you're landing? Or am I landing the same way if I go off a diving board in my buddy's backyard?
When it comes to stuff like what we do, it's feet first. You could either land a little bit forward and like, it depends on how high the jump is, obviously. But say you're like 80+ feet, you land a little bit forward, that can hit you in the jaw and knock you out if you don't do it correctly. It's happened. I've seen it happen. Or if you land a little bit back, you can slap the back of your head, or you can slap and you can really hurt your spine if you land kind of like with your butt out. So it's like, it's always, you try to be straight up and down on every jump.
Really?
Yeah.
So what kind of in the community is more impressive, to do like a trick off a 40-foot jump or to just go higher? What's kind of the main thing that people are trying to do?
It's, you know, that's an interesting question because it's both, right? You want to do tricks from the highest you can. But also, what people don't understand, doing flips off a high cliff is way easier than just straight jumping it from a high. Because the thing about jumping just straight is horrifying. And I'm telling you, every cliff jumper in the world will tell you jumping straight is so much scarier than doing a flip. Because like when I'm doing a flip, my mind's occupied. I'm thinking about stuff. Where are my feet? Where's my body? Where's the water? I'm looking at stuff. I'm thinking the whole time, right? So by the time I see the water, I'm like, cool. I got like milliseconds and cool. I'm done. Cool. Everything's great, right? But if I straight jump, I'm just staring at the water the entire time. And it feels like it's twice as high. Because I jumped off like a 60-footer, a straight jump, a few months ago when we were in Oregon. And just because the takeoff was super slippery, like I couldn't get my footing right to do the trick I wanted. Like it just didn't feel comfortable. So I straight jumped it. And it was only 60 feet. And I've jumped it like multiple times before. But it felt like it was like 200 feet tall. And like I got butterflies because just straight jumping is terrifying compared to doing flips.
I never would have thought that.
Yeah, most people think it's the opposite. Like, isn't doing trip? No, it's way easier. It's way funner. Doing straight jumps is stressful. I hate it, but I do it sometimes to scare myself. Like we do it sometimes just to like let's freak ourselves out a little bit. Let's just do a straight jump.
I always remember, you know, like when you because you know you jump off something, and you jump off something and it's pretty high, and then you jump off something else and you get like that where you really get going. You're like, oh. Yeah. That was high.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it happens a lot. Like I've definitely experienced a few times. It's what's called flow state. My roommate, Nick, actually made a flow state documentary about cliff jumping. And it's an hour and a half feature length film on YouTube. Right. And I describe it in that as well. But it's like when you're in the flow state, your mind is just in this zone, essentially. Right. And you shut everything off. And there's times where you go for these big jumps and it's completely silent until you hit the water. And it's like, you don't hear anything. You don't hear people cheering. You don't hear the rushing of the waterfall or anything. And the only thing you hear right when you hit the water, and then like, okay, we're good. We're clear. Back to normal. We're good. And then you come up and you're all excited, whatever. But like during the jump, like it's kind of when fear shuts off as soon as you step off the cliff, because you're already past it. You've done the hard part. Now it's just getting to the bottom safely. And it gets you, everything shuts off. It's silent. It's kind of crazy.
How much of a depth of water do you need?
For something big like that, we aim like for a minimum of 15 feet. We've jumped off stuff more shallow and it's sketchy. We jumped off this 80-foot cliff once into about like 8 or 9 feet of water, and horrible idea. We did it anyway. It was stupid. It was like when we were really young into the scene, and it was stupid. And when you hit and you're just laying down on the bottom in the sand because you got as far as you could. It's not good, but you aim for about 15 feet. That gives you a good enough stopping point. Cause even if you do touch bottom, likely you won't touch it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of the times, like with us, we wear shoes or not anymore really. It's barefoot mostly, but you wear a lot of wetsuits and stuff when you come to high heights like that, because it's a safety thing. Cause say you were to hurt yourself, you float back up to the top. If you're unconscious, if you're in a wetsuit, you'll float to the top because they're super buoyant. So we wear those on big ones in case you hurt yourself and you need essentially assistance, right? So wetsuits really slow you down in terms of like how deep you need the water to be.
I was wondering about that because I saw some of your Instagram videos and everybody was wearing a wetsuit and I just assumed the water was cold. And I kind of thought like, these guys are so tough, but they're worried about some cold water.
It's usually never for cold water unless we're doing like winter jumping, and we do winter jumping when it's like snowing, right? And it's then you're like wetsuit because it's cold type of thing. But usually when we get to high heights, we wear wetsuit strictly for safety factors.
Is it when you look at it, like, is it hard to find good places to be able to jump, or are they just everywhere?
Depends on how creative you are also. Like when we went to Slovenia, right, they don't have a ton of jumping spots, but if you know people and you can jump off their hotel balconies, or if you find an insanely cool bridge to jump off of, then yeah, it's sweet, right? But if you don't know what you're looking for, it's really hard. And if you don't know what you're looking for, you don't know like what to look for, like in the beginning when it comes to like how sheer the cliff is, like does the water look deep? Can you read something online that says like, no, it's a really deep pool? Whatever. If you know what you're looking for, it's pretty easy, but it's not if you don't know what you're doing.
Are you ready for some harder/listener submitted questions?
Yeah, let's get into the weird ones. Let's do it.
Better jump, cannonball or can opener?
Can I tell you a funny story about a can opener?
Yep.
We're in this place in NorCal, and we're at this spot, and this guy was drunk and he's cliff jumping, which is a horrible mix, right? And he's there and he goes, I'm going to go to the 60 footer and do a can opener. I'm like, absolutely don't do that. One, you've been drinking. Two, as soon as you reach for your knee, all your weight's going to go back and you're going to flop. You're going to really hurt yourself. Like 60 feet's like no joke. And he goes, okay, I won't do it. He goes up there, he does it anyway, lands flat on his back, ruptures his freaking spleen, and has to. And the funny thing is that this spot is right behind a hospital, like about 2 miles behind a hospital. So he hiked to the dang hospital. Like, I freaking hate can openers after that. So cannonball is the straight answer for me.
Do you have to? I feel like you have to call it out though.
Oh, you have to. You can't just do a cannonball and not tell anybody. Like, you're screaming cannonball amidst your job, like 100%.
That's the way to do it. easiest trick that looks hard. Hardest trick that looks easy.
Man, that's a difficult question. I feel like specifically for me, there's a lot of tricks that are really easy to like my friends that do that cliff jump, but are also like skiers, professional skiers, and they'll do stuff like off axis. And what I mean by that is like you could either do a front flip or a back flip or a twist, whatever. But they'll kind of go like shoulder over knee type stuff. And it just, it turns your body in a way that like I can't understand. So sometimes they look really easy and I can't even touch them. I can't do it. So that's the hardest trick that looks easy. But the easiest trick that looks hard, I want to say it's a gainer, right? It's nothing crazy, but that's what I do all the time. And it looks really easy, but like, no, it looks hard, I guess, because like you're running forwards, you're going backwards. Everybody always like, aren't you afraid of hitting your head on the cliff? Which is never the case, because I mean, if you do whatever,
you're way past it by that time,
right? But like people always ask, are you ever hit your head on the cliff or anything? I was like, it looks hard, I guess, to some people, but it's pretty easy, and that's the one I've done my entire cliff jumping career. That's like I do it off every single cliff. Like, it's just my favorite.
Are most cliff jumpers actually good divers? And I think the person means by like, could you go compete at USA swimming trials or something?
Absolutely not. Almost none of us are capable of that. We even really classify ourselves as freestyle cliff jumpers versus like classically trained divers. Because you have like these Red Bull events that are everybody's toes pointed, everybody's judged on every little maneuver, right? But freestyle is a totally different thing in terms of like you're doing stuff off access. You're doing stuff with more stees and more layout. Whereas there, how many flips, how many twists, how straight can you be? So we would fail hardcore because we're not following their guidelines at all, right? They want to see how straight and poised you could be. Whereas freestyle like us, they want to see how cool, how sick, how different can you be?
But is the, do you have that same level of body control?
I'd say me specifically, I don't think so. But there's a few people in this community that can absolutely, that would be able, I feel, take them on in terms of having body control. Like there's some people like Robert Wall, Reinhard Reed, Chase Reinford, Ryan Bean that have ultimate body control that can do any flip, any twist and compete with the best of them, but it's going to look way different. Even though the trick is the same, like say you go for a double half, right? Which is one front flip and then another front flip with a half twist, right? Having somebody who does a freestyle background versus somebody who has a classically trained background, it would make it an entirely different look. It's really interesting.
Best type of rock to jump off of?
Something with a waterfall. That's the best one. Not a rock specifically. Like, I don't know. I'm not a geologist. But anything where there's a waterfall next to you and you're jumping like into the froth of the water, that's the best kind.
Best cliff jumping spot in the U.S., best in the world.
I'm going to say this because it's already blown up. Otherwise, I would typically keep these to myself. There's a whole thing with the internet that if you geotag a spot like on Instagram, it like, especially when you have a lot of followers, it gets blown out of proportion. The wrong people go there. They litter, they ruin it. It gets shut down. You never get to go there again. So it's like a lot of with cliff jumping, you kind of keep it to yourself. But this one's already heavily regulated. Havasu Bay. It's the Indian Reservation in the middle of the Grand Canyon. We went there. I went back there. It was 2016 when we went with 150 people. It was this insane event that we went with, and the water was beautiful. We stayed down in the Grand Canyon for four or five days and jumped everything there with like the world's greatest cliff jumpers at the time. And I would consider that one of the greatest cliff jumping places in the world and in the United States. It's incredible. I have tickets to go back next year. They sell out within the first half hour every year that they're on sale, and it's an incredible place.
Is it just because of, like, what is it about it? Is it, I mean, obviously it's a beautiful area.
There's so many factors for me that lead this, that like get me there. Like, for one, the sheer beauty. You're in the middle of the Grand Canyon, right? You have these incredible orange rock formations, and then the water is this like Gatorade blue color because of the minerals that are in it. So it provides for an incredible landscape. Other than that, there's cliff jumping spots anywhere from like 20 feet to 130 feet. Technically, you're not supposed to jump really any of it, but they kind of just let people do it. But they don't want anywhere near the 100-footer and the 130-footer, but we kind of did it anyway. And then the other thing, it's like, it's so fun for just vibes in general, like outside of cliff jumping, right? Like, there's camp spots where but they have picnic tables in the river where you can just sit there and eat food like while you're like waist deep in the water, and it's just beautiful. So it's like a lot of things, like, and to be fair, not a lot of people get to experience it, like not the standard people that are going to make the 12-mile hike in and then stay there for 4 days and then hike 12 miles out. Like, nobody really does that. That's probably also, I should have mentioned, it's really difficult to get to.
Is it hard on your body? You do a 60 footer, right? Can you just do this all day long? Or are you like, I got one or two in me?
For like 60, 70 footers, like, you could do those a few times, 5, 10 times, and like be like, whatever. And your body will be sore the next day. Like, your body's had it's a lot of impact, right? But when it comes to stuff like 100, 110, 110 plus type stuff, like, I'm usually like a one and done person. Like, I'll just do it once. I enjoyed it. I had a great time. It was incredible. And I probably won't do it again.
Will you be sore the next day off of a 100-foot jump?
Yes and no. I have sometimes. It just depends on how long it's been. Because there was a stretch of time, like in like 2018, where we were jumping off like 90 to 100 footers, like every other week for like 5 months, just killing it. And then, so it, like, my body was used to it at that point. But if I don't do it for a while, if I don't do it for like 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, and I go to jump off like a 90 footer or a 100 footer, like, yeah, I'll be sore. Definitely.
Can you make a living off of this?
Yeah, you can. It's really, really difficult. You're really relying on sponsorship money is what it is. You're not getting paid by some sort of cliff diving association or Red Bull to go do this stuff. It's basically, what sponsors can you get and how can they help you fund your endeavors? Really, I only know a couple people that are able to do it full time and not actually have a job.
How many times has your swimsuit come off when you hit the water?
It's never came off, but so the problem is that they rip from when you hit the impact, and your shorts are filled with air and they're hitting the water. The air and the water like are feuding essentially. And so I have shorts all the time that just rip up the seam at the side all the time. And it's like, there's been times where I wear them one time, I'm like, cool, I can't wear these anymore. Luckily, I have a great swimsuit sponsorship they've been sending me swimsuits for the past 5 years. Animo, Tripo, they're out of the Netherlands. They're an incredible company and they're great guys. And they just send me stuff a couple times a year just to fill me up on swim trunks.
On swimsuits.
Yeah.
Best piece of cliff jumper lingo.
Oh man, that's a good one. I think it's an old surfer term and we love to use it, and it's called pitted. And it's when you eat shit, essentially. So like, dude, you got totally pitted, right? It's like, I really enjoy that cliff jumper term. I'm trying to remember if there's any other one a cliff jumper term. Actually, I coined it, right? I don't know if how many people in the cliff diving community really know this, but there's a trick that I named. It's called the triple hope sucks. Really, and it's funny because my girlfriend's name is Hope. I named it after her because it was hilarious, because I used to always make fun of her. And just every time somebody's like, oh, Hope, I'm like, yeah, Hope sucks. It was random. So I named it randomly. And it's where you do a front flip, a front half to a back flip. So it's three flips with one half twist, right? It's really difficult.
Oh, I thought you were like stopping in midair. I was like, how do you do a front flip, then stop, and then a half,
and then a backflip. And then I named that the triple hope suck. So that's a piece of cliff jumping lingo that I named, and a lot of people call it that in the cliff jumping community. Like, you see people do it on their Instagram captions. Did my first trip hope sucks, whatever. But I coined that. I'm proud of that moment. I haven't contributed an insane amount of stuff to the cliff jumping community besides like helping pioneer like new spots and stuff. But that's something I got. That's, nobody can take that away from me.
Does she appreciate that? Or
she doesn't care. She's hilarious. She's such a good sport about everything. She's incredible.
The other part of that is worst piece of cliff diving lingo. You're like, God, people stop saying that.
Worst piece of cliff jumping lingo. I think what I hate the most, and it's, I think some of us cliff jumpers do that. So there's cliff diving, right? And then you have these kids that come from trampolining into cliff diving because it's kind of like a new step up. And they, you like, instead of saying like dub half or triple half, they use the terms like triffus and fliffus off a cliff, and I can't stand it. So I'm like, wrong sport, man. You're in the wrong sport. You're talking trampolines. We're into cliff diving here. We're not doing no triffus and fliffus. We're doing dub halves, trip half. We're not using your terms. And I that's something like, I know it's super minor. It's not like I don't like the guys. It just, it bothers the crap out of me.
I will say this as a person who knows nothing about it. Just hearing that, like, ooh, that's an, that's annoying, right?
Isn't it? Like, you can tell.
You're trying too hard, right? The lingo hasn't come naturally. You're forcing the lingo.
Right? So it's a totally different community, and I just don't like it.
What's the holy grail?
I really feel like there's not one holy grail. I feel like in terms of like cliff jumping spots, it's that Havasupai place I told you about. That's, to me, the most incredible place you could get to, like, for cliff jumping. But in terms of like cliff jumping itself, I feel like there's not one specific thing. I feel like it's everybody trying to do something new and create something new that's never been done, whether it's a new flip, a new trick, whatever. I think that's really the drive for a lot of people, just trying to get as versatile as possible.
That's pretty much all the questions we got, man.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you think we missed or anything like that?
Well, I'm going to leave everybody with a message. If it gets edited out, like, I don't care. Take the time to travel with your friends, because going out of the country for us, like with your best friends, is some of the most like unforgettable memories to ever get. So if you're 22, 25, 30, I don't care if you're 45 or whatever, like going out of the country with your friends and just having an insane time and doing random stuff and not being like, yeah, I'm going to go, I'm going to stay in a hotel. Go stay at an Airbnb with 15 of your friends and go have a freaking blast. And just go out, stay out all night, burn yourself out, and have hella fun. Because that's the best memory of my life.
I want to thank Jay so much for joining us. If you want to connect with him, we have linked to him on our social media accounts. We're Profoundly Pointless on Twitter and Instagram. And we have also included his information in the episode description. Okay, now let's go ahead and bring in John Shull. What is the most dangerous thing that you regularly do?
I mean, I guess that's subjective. I would say every time I get into a car, it's dangerous, but that's boring, right? Nobody wants to hear that answer.
Yeah, that is kind of boring.
I was going to say mow the lawn. That's also really sad.
How old's your mower? I mean, if you got a pretty old mower, like my mower is like 4 years old and the blade could legitimately come off at any second. And I don't exactly take any kind of precautions by avoiding rocks. At least three times while mowing the yard, I think this blade's coming off and chopping off my legs. Do you think that's sad, though, that at this stage in our lives, the most dangerous, like riskiest thing that we do is mow the yard and drive to work?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would ask, I mean, what's something, unless you have a profession to where you're, you know, I don't know, whatever, at a zoo working with tigers every day. I mean, what's a normal person do every day that's dangerous?
It probably legitimately is just driving to work is the most dangerous thing that people do.
You could say going up and down the stairs is dangerous, but then at the same point, it's like, well, if you fall down a flight of stairs, you might break a leg, but you're probably going to survive. You get hit by a car.
That seems to be the natural progression of life. Like in your 20s, you're probably doing something actually risky, like jumping off of cliffs or riding your motorcycle. But as you get older, then it becomes driving, and it's driving until you get to the age where it's walking downstairs.
Some people would say just getting, you know, waking up every morning is the most dangerous thing.
Like, are we missing out on life because we're not taking these kind of risks?
I don't think I am, but because I had a great time in my 20s. I'm not saying I took risks every day. I'm okay with the most riskiest thing that I do now being driving, you know, a car from here to, you know, point A to point B. I'm okay with that at this point in my life.
Yeah, it's weird how you want your life to be. You go from wanting your life to be adventurous to wanting it to be boring.
Unless you're my wife, and then she says, yeah, sure, go cliff diving because you're actually worth more dead than alive. Much more, actually.
Oh, I'm worth way more dead.
Yeah, me too. 100%.
Yeah. So then wait a minute. If we killed each other, do we cash in on our life insurance policy?
I guess if it's considered an accident.
Okay, man. You've been talking it up for episodes. What's the big October candle of the month that you been going on about forever?
Well, I mean, I have to go. I was actually pretty excited about this. I'm going to have to go with Fall Festival from Bed Bath and Beyond as my favorite fragrance of the month.
That sounds pretty generic, and I was hoping for something like pomegranate pumpkinberry.
Well, no, I mean, I could go into a couple other. I mean, you know, I had written down some Halloween ones here that I've had in the past, like Witch's Brew, which is a different kind of candle. Be Thankful, which is more like Thanksgiving, but it's fall-y. Haunted Hayride I've had before. Spooky Spider Cider. I don't even remember having that, but I wrote it down as, you know, having it. So
can you, okay, with your candle. So for people who aren't familiar with this, John is a huge candle fanatic, and he spends legitimately $100 a month, if not more, on candles. His record is, I believe, $300 a month in candles. Can you walk into a room and identify the scent, the candle scent, the specific candle?
Yeah, because I have discussed this before that I usually burn one all the way through.
No, not your house. Somebody else's house.
Oh. If I'm not correct, like I'm in the ballpark. Like if I might not get the exact name, but I'll say like, oh, that has a hint of, you know, nutmeg or cinnamon. And the, you know, it'll lead me to the root, so to speak. Yeah, I know. What am I talking about?
It's so lame, but yet impressive at the same time.
It's you know, anything spiced apple too, like spiced pumpkin apple. Those are good ones too. Anything spicy right now, because the weather in a lot of parts of the country is changing from warm to, you know, cooler. So,
you sure about that?
Well, not where I live, not in Michigan right now. I don't know what the F's going on, but.
Well, dude, that's the future. Okay. All right. Let's move on.
All right. Moving on here.
Candle of the month.
Candle of the month to some shout outs here. We'll start with Vince Hernandez. Appreciate you. Sarah Peters. She has the handle of the week, by the way, with @RealSarahPeters, because I'm at the real show. So. Anyone with @TheReal, I appreciate it a little more.
Oh, so it's somebody else who couldn't come up with a better name.
Don't worry, Sarah. We still like you. Don't worry. Courtney, @MotorCity42, another one that I appreciate, a local Detroit listener. Riley.
Here we go. Does she actually live in Detroit, or is she a fake Detroit person like you who claims to be from Detroit but actually lives outside in the suburbs?
You know, she didn't say where she lives. I know her tag had, you know, Pistons fan and Tigers fan, but who knows? She's probably a suburbanite.
She had an area code in there, though, right?
No, it was just the number 42.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right, Riley, go back to you. Allison, Joel, Rosie May, Caitlin, Diana, and Brian. You all get the special shout outs for the week on the tail end of a very special candle segment. So we appreciate all of you.
Is it Brian with a Y or Brian with an I?
Brian with an I.
Okay. I appreciate it. I would say that in general, I like Brian's with an I more than I like Brian's with a Y. But it's reversed for Ryan. Now, I like Ryan's with a Y more than I like Ryan's with an I. So the Brian-Ryan ratio is reversed for me there.
I guess I've never, I'm not sure I know anyone that's with an I for Ryan, like R-I-A-N. I'm not sure I know anybody.
I can think of one person.
Brian
Rosillo.
Cool guy. Cool. Is it a man, woman? I assume a man.
Likes to party. I know that. Or at least he used to when he got busted for breaking into somebody else's hotel room.
Allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly. Brian, I guess I know way more B-R-I's than B-R-Y's. So I'm probably going to say I'm going to stay equal parts douchery on both spellings.
Okay. Okay.
So
going against all Bryans. All right.
Pissing off all Bryans here. All right. So first question to you. When you burn the roof of your mouth, whatever you eat late at night and the microwave, you know, whether it's pizza rolls or something hot, is it worth it to you? Knowing, say you have a Hot Pocket and you have it in the microwave and you know that you're going to take it out and you can let it cool for 5 minutes or you can just take the first bite, but it's going to burn the roof of your mouth and it's going to be that weird feeling the next day and, you know, everything else. Is it worth it? Do you do it or are you the patient person and let it sit?
I don't know if it's worth it, but I know that I've never been able to actually like wait it out.
Yeah.
Like maybe 20 seconds I can wait before I take another bite of it. I don't generally burn the roof of my mouth, though. I usually burn my tongue. What are you doing that you're burning the roof of your mouth?
I think because trying to get into explaining this, I think what happens, and I think a lot of people this happens too.
I don't think so.
Is you bite into it and, you know, you get the hotness. So your tongue pushes it. You push it up to the top of your mouth, to the roof of your mouth for whatever reason.
And I don't think I've ever honestly burned the roof of my mouth. What are you doing?
I don't think I really don't think it's that uncommon. I really don't.
There's no way, though, that you're only burning the roof of your mouth, because if you used your tongue to then push it up to the roof of your mouth, you would burn your tongue at the same time, unless you're somehow developed this eating technique and with you go teeth and then straight to roof of mouth.
No, I mean, you probably burn your tongue a little bit, but it's the after effect of burning the roof of your mouth that I've always cared about a lot more.
Okay, that makes a little more sense. Because I don't think that I've ever burned the roof of my mouth. And quite frankly, if I did, that would be one of those things like, ooh, I've learned a lesson here, because that sounds pretty horrible. But in general, like if I burn my tongue, I'll wait maybe 20 seconds before trying again. And then I'll do that weird like teeth eat thing that people do.
Yeah.
But there's no waiting involved. Maybe I'll throw it in the fridge for a minute.
Wow. I mean, you're really dedicated. I just go for it. I don't even wait.
You just go right for it. Wow. Yeah, just burn the roof of your mouth.
Just I'm surprised you kind of, for those who can't see us on video right now, Nick's giving me some funny faces like I just spoke alien to him. I don't think it's that uncommon. I think it's a pretty commonplace thing.
Okay.
All right, good talk. We'll see you out there.
All right, good talk. See you later.
All right.
You know how a game goes.
Someone came to you and said you either had to stop eating treats or meat. Which one are you giving up?
Well, treats. That's pretty easy. I mean, you'd probably die otherwise. I mean, you can't subsist on.
I guess when I think of these questions, I don't think of like you
don't really think it through very well.
I don't think of you thinking of it like, you know, at a realistic
somebody actually answering the question. Yeah.
I don't give you enough credit, I guess.
No, I mean, yeah, you give up treats, man. I mean, I like treats, but I like generally being alive more, and I don't really feel like subsisting off of Reese's peanut butter cups.
I mean, I don't know if you, I mean, I've never done it, but I mean, vegans seem to live pretty well. I don't know if you need meat for most of your life.
But I mean, I'd still much rather give up treats either way. Like, yeah, you could, but I would much rather have access to a meat-like protein.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, I would. The bigger and harder that meat is, the more I want to take it all down my mouth.
We haven't had a good meat joke lately, so.
No, we haven't. And I don't chew it fast either. I like to suck on that meat once I get it. Okay, we went too far. Let's just move on.
Let's just edit, snip, going to this part now.
Control Alt.
Yeah. All right. So my current events thing actually happened today.
What is it?
You know what it's going to be. We really need like a drum roll here. So half of social media went down today. Facebook, Instagram. How great was it? God, it was so great seeing people freak. I'm going to use this word, the fuck out today. It was so awesome watching people. I don't know what to do. Facebook's down. Instagram's down. Like, I'm going to go to Twitter. Like, it was fantastic, and I love it.
Okay, so John has a huge grudge against social media.
I do.
Were people really freaking out, or were they kind of just like, I'm going to pretend to freak out, but really I just want you to retweet the thing that I just sent? Like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? But they're not really being serious. Because I think that ultimately, most people, they probably don't give a shit.
I see, once again, I think in our age group, we're the last age group that probably don't give a shit. I think everyone below us gives a shit. I think that's their lives. And I could be wrong, but that's my opinion.
But just because, okay, I mean, just because something is what somebody does a lot doesn't necessarily mean that's what they want to be doing. Like, I bet people, most people were secretly really enjoyed it.
I can tell you I was. It was fantastic trying to log on to Facebook and having, you know, the page does not exist error. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against Facebook. It was just nice, I don't know, not having to think about it. I'm as guilty as anybody. I don't like it, but I still have it. I still do it. It is scary, though, to think about that in the blink of an eye, assuming that it was something more than just a server going down, that something could wipe out an entire social media platform in the blink of an eye and it's gone. That's kind of, you know, scary.
Oh, I would honestly make an argument that we are in some ways closer to the apocalypse for society than we have ever been, because if internet goes down, fuck.
Yeah. There's no other way to put it. Just fuck.
Just fuck is the only response, right? Like, because it's not even just like, hey, man, I can't watch Netflix. It's what's going to happen to the supply chain getting sure. food to places? What happens to, like, basic communications? Fuck. I
mean, all right.
Okay, so our top five Halloween songs. What's your number five?
My number five is the Ghostbusters theme by Ray Parker Jr.
That's way too low for that. That's a ridiculous statement. That's a top three song at the very least.
I don't know, man. I have some what I think are good ones. I really
you
do.
You better have some strong songs on there. Because already I feel like that's ridiculous.
I really think I do. I do. What's your number five?
She-Wolf by Shakira.
Okay, so I have that on my honorable mention only because it's Shakira, and I have, out of every woman celebrity out there, I think she's probably my biggest crush for sure, Shakira.
Oh, yeah, because she fills so many different demographics of the crush area, right?
Like
she's, yeah, and we don't need to go into that much more, but she fills a lot of those demographics. That's like, it would be a question of, is that a Halloween song if somebody besides Shakira is singing it? Like Celine Dion sings She-Wolf. Is that still a top five song?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No, but I also think the context is different then. You know what I mean? Celine Dion makes it into this long, drawn-out ballad.
That's true. That's true. Even Britney Spears singing that song probably doesn't make it a top five to me. It has to be specifically Shakira singing that song.
For sure. I would agree. For that song, 100%.
All right. What's your number four?
Frankenstein by Alice Cooper.
How does that go? I don't remember that one.
Be my Frankenstein, yeah! Anyways.
That's one of those songs, though, that I've got some in my honorable mention, that it's more like a one-liner that kind of brings it around to Frankenstein. Like, Highway to Hell by AC/DC.
Yeah.
Like, is that really a Halloween song? Or do they just mention something?
No, I mean, the whole premise, the song starts off with like the doctor walking in and there's sound effects and then he looks at Frankenstein and the music kicks. To me, it's a whole like little story wrapped up into one song. It's a fantastic theatrical song. If you haven't checked it out, I would recommend it.
Okay. Okay. My number four is the Addams Family theme song.
Okay.
Dun. Yeah, everybody knows that one, right? Like that, that everybody knows what that is, even if you've never seen The Addams Family, which is even before really our time. But everybody knows that.
And now there's some weird remake or something that just came out or whatnot. I don't even know. It's just terrible.
Yeah, most remakes are generally pretty terrible. All right, what's your number three?
So I should have put this higher, but I'm going to go with, I'm going to say Thriller as my number three.
I could, there's a strong put, like I could see it. I think you can't go any higher than three with Thriller. You can't.
No, but I also think that if you were to ask generations of 1990 on, when you think of Halloween, what's like mainstream Halloween and songs, what's the one song you think of? And I think Thriller is always at the top of the list.
Yeah. We should at some point clarify. So when I say higher, I mean number higher. Like, I don't think that that could be in the top three. I don't think it's third, but that has to be in the top three, I think, of Halloween songs. My number three is Monster Mash.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess you kind of just busted my list. So, yeah, so I have Monster Mash on my list, but it's my number one.
That's your number one is Monster Mash.
Yeah.
I could see that. I actually thought about putting it as number one, but I didn't.
I mean,
I thought about it.
Yeah, it's a classic. It's been redone a few times. It's just, it's a fun song, right? It's
good. So does that mean, what's your number two then? Because I think then, given your three and one, I think that there's only one thing that your number two should be.
And it's not what you think. And this is the one I think that you're going to hate the most. But anyone who's a fan of the holiday will get this. And that is, my number two is the Halloween movie theme song. The Michael Myers theme song.
How does it go?
I'm going to
play. Like, don't pull it up. You hum it like a man.
I mean, it's too exact for me to hum. I'm going to screw it up. But
just try it.
No, that sounds like a you know,
that's, I think, something else.
Yeah, no, it's hold on a second, because
you can't actually play it because of copyright stuff.
Well, shit then. Well then, people, I don't want to try to do it because I won't do it justice, because it's all instrumental, obviously. But it's, I mean, when you think of Halloween, you think of a lot of times horror movies. And there's no other theme that's associated.
Even
with
close,
it.
Huh?
Yeah.
See, now my number two is also a movie one, but it goes in the other direction. That's Ghostbusters.
Okay. I mean, like I said, to me, the Halloween theme, and I'm wrong, right? Because obvious, well, no.
Ghostbusters is not a Christmas movie, man.
No, but I was going to say Ghostbusters, it is a more of a commercial hit than Halloween, but I think the cult status of both is similar to a certain degree, which is, you know, the songs are equal of importance, which is why I have them both on the list, but I have Halloween a little higher.
I guess I never associated Michael Myers with Halloween, even though the name of the movie was Halloween. I never thought of it as a Halloween movie. Like Scream is apparently a Halloween movie, but I don't think of it as a Halloween movie. I just think of it as a scary movie.
I mean, he comes back, and that's the night that he does all of his murdering is on Halloween night.
Oh.
I mean, listen.
Did they ever establish what day of the week it was?
No. But I'm going to give you an out here, because for those who don't listen to this podcast on the regular, you're not a big horror movie fan. So
no.
So that's, yeah.
King Kong is the scariest movie I ever watched.
Nick's a Twilight guy.
Oh, that's even too much for me. It got vampires and shit in there, dude. That's terrifying. Would you rather be real life friends with Dracula or Frankenstein?
Dracula.
Yeah, Dracula.
Because you know he's going to be a lot better time.
He's got probably a lot better time, right? Like, Frankenstein's not going to be that fun. You can't really take him anywhere.
No.
And he'd be like, fuck.
And he's going to get you into some shit. Dracula will get you into some shit, but then he can just disappear.
Right. And he can, like, Frankenstein's going to get you into some shit. Like, I don't want to be in this, but Dracula's going to get you into some shit. And then, like, ooh, that was a good time with Dracula.
Like, going to wake up in the morning and be like, what's up? Oh, all
right. Right. Like, where am I? Got to stop hanging out with Dracula. Okay. So my number one, what's your number one? What was it? Monster Mash.
Yeah.
Right?
We had the same number one.
No, we didn't, because my number one is Thriller.
Oh, that's right. Oh, Monster Mash is your three. That's right.
Monster Mash is my
Monster
three.
Mash is my one. Yes, Monster Mash is my number one. Thriller, I'm fine with it. I don't think it's number one or two, but like I said, I agree with you that it has to be in top three. So,
does the controversy surrounding Michael Jackson ruin any of his music for you?
Wow, that's a deep question. No.
Yeah. That's kind of like, it doesn't for me, but then I think about it and like, oh yeah, it kind of does.
Well, I was trying to phrase this without sounding uncultured, which I might already sound that way anyways. I'm not a big Michael Jackson fan to begin with. I understand and I respect what he did for music, but it just wasn't my cup of tea for the most part.
Okay. Okay. See, I feel the same way about like somebody, for example, I'd use Tom Cruise. Ever since that came out that he was like a lunatic, I couldn't even watch any of his movies. Any new ones, any old ones, none of it. Can't watch any of it.
So, I mean, yeah, I like Tom Cruise. I don't really care about him personally, but I like his movies. So I try to separate, you know.
Okay, I don't separate. All right, what you got in your honorable mention? I got a ton.
Yeah, I don't have a ton. I have a few, though. Like, I have... Like I said earlier, I have She-Wolf. I have I Put a Spell on You out of Hocus Pocus.
Okay.
Bad Moon Rising.
I don't see how that's a Halloween song. It doesn't scream Halloween to me.
Yeah, it's, you know, it talks about, you know, moon rising, werewolves, whatever. Black Sabbath. It's about Satan. And then the one that I'm kind of surprised that neither of us had on our list is Purple People Eater.
Oh, I don't remember that one, honestly. That's before our time. That's like so far before our time that like we didn't even catch any of the edges of it.
Yeah, I mean. A lot more.
Ooh, let's see. I got Nightmare on My Street by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the French Prince. The Nightmare on My Street. I don't remember how it goes.
I don't either.
I guess I don't have a whole bunch. Oh, the Stranger Things theme song.
Okay, I saw season one and I haven't seen any more. So,
season one was fantastic. The rest of it, honestly, is one of those shows that has gradually gotten worse. It hasn't been like the first one was really good, right? It deserves its credit for that. But any of the subsequent seasons have just been a letdown. Now, you could make an argument that the first one was so good, there was only way it could go was down. But,
I mean, that's probably a whole discussion for another time. But, I mean, what show ever is better a lot of times than after the first season? There's very few shows that can carry its weight through multiple seasons being that great, I feel.
Game of Thrones, you can make an argument. I think you could make an argument for some of the seasons of The Sopranos. Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I mean, there are some. I'm not saying there aren't. People say that Ted Lasso is fantastic, you know, outside the first season.
That's one of those things that I feel like I just don't have any interest in watching it. Once everybody gets involved in something, then I don't want to do it.
We need to get Apple to sponsor us so that I can get an Apple TV subscription.
Oh, is that all it takes?
That's all it takes.
Okay, that's going to go ahead and do it for this episode of Profoundly Pointless. I want to thank you so much for joining us. If you get a chance, please leave a review. It really helps us out. And let us know what are some of your favorite Halloween songs. I was shocked John didn't pick Twitter. Or, I was shocked that John didn't put Thriller as his number one. I would assume that's pretty much everybody's number one. But let us know if your top five is completely different.